Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Okay. Just want to say again, happy Mother's Day. If I need to put my voice up, just kind of go like this to me, okay? I was at a walkathon yesterday. So I used to do 5K walks every day. And it's been a while, and from some injuries and stuff. And so me and my daughter went to the walkathon for where I work. It's Windsor Life Center. I'm a counselor there. And they raise money for the women's home there that women are struggling with addiction. And so it's a really wonderful time annually that we get to do that. And, you know, my heart's really for the women in that. You know, knowing that some of them are moms and some of them are, you know, daughters, obviously, that moms are hoping that they get well. And so this cause is always such a great thing to be a part of. And so I just want to, you know, if you see me, I'm a little bit like, it's because I did that. It was almost 6K that we walked yesterday. After the first time we went around Malden Park in the first lap, and then Maya looked at me and said, you want to be done? I'm very competitive. And so I was like, no, I'm going to go again. And so we did it again. And I'm like, okay, I feel it today. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of incorporate a little bit of Mother's Day with part of what Pastor Jay was talking about last week, about being overwhelmed and living in this society of, you know, how to balance that. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the spiritual moms out there. I know that while I was starting out in motherhood, you know, at a very young age and giving my life over to God at 19 and just walking through those doors, I had some amazing women of God that just took me under their wing and just really guided me through how to, you know, love myself, how to be strong, how to rely on God, how to trust God. And so, you know, just want to encourage you guys, if any of you guys are moms, ladies, if you're a spiritual mom, just keep pouring out. It is so important. And I will never, ever forget those moments. And it was funny because when I seen, I was watching Pastor Jay's message last week and I seen he had the jars of clay and I'm like, oh no, I had my own demonstration for today and I still have it. It's different. So hopefully it complements each other. But, you know, just kind of really pondering about priorities. Even when Karen came up and did the welcome, she talked about priorities. And I thought, you know, sometimes priorities is really hard to really balance, especially in motherhood. And this is where I'll incorporate that. Motherhood is like, where are you in the midst of this with all these children and changes that you go through? I am at the stage right now where I have two left at home, the twins there, and they are getting, you know, ready for life and to move on. And so I will be an empty nester probably in the next 4 or 5 years. But definitely with one that's getting married this year. My daughter, she'll be getting married in August. And it's bittersweet. I'm not going to lie. Like I told her today, I'm like, it's my last Mother's Day with you in the house. I'm trying not to be like guilt trips along the way, but I really am sentimental about this. And it's kind of like, I'm happy, but I'm grieving. And I'm like, I remember when her fiance came into our room and asked for a blessing to get married. Dorman was watching TV and I said, did you just hear what he asked us? And he's like, no, I was like watching TV. And so he had to ask again, the poor guy. And, you know, I just like, after I'm like, okay. And he shows us the ring. We're all excited. And he leaves and I start crying. I'm like, how dare he? Like, so it was, I am so, you know, we had our other daughter got married last year and, two of my daughters got married last year, one in September, one in December, and we have two in Newfoundland, so altogether we have 6 kids. But as you know, I was thinking about like priorities, and you know, I'm gonna kind of go weave in and out of this whole thing, but you know, just knowing how God really strengthens us through hard times, through times that were unexpected. You know, we have a lot of those in life, right? It's just some curveballs that get thrown at us. And we have to balance that. And we have to really lean into God. And I don't understand everything. And especially when you're a parent, moms and dads, you don't understand how it doesn't come with the manual about this particular child. And I was like, I had some strong-willed children. I had some, you know, and I just had to learn how to like navigate through that. And I would get the book, James Dobson, The Strong-Willed Child. And, you know, and what do you do with that child? And, you know, you're trying to, hold that love that you have for them and show them that. But you go to bed a lot of days feeling guilty. There's a lot of days you do, you're hard on yourself, and you have to get up and like almost like literally wash yourself and start a new day. And that's like with life. Every day we're faced with these decisions in life, and we're faced with challenges in life, and how we cope with them and how we deal with them is so important. And we don't have the answer, but the Word does, and God does, and He walks us through those things, and He wants us to balance out our priorities in our life so that we are not overwhelmed beyond the place where we fall apart. One of the things I see with even addiction is sometimes in how do we cope with the pain in life? And that's where addiction can come in. And so, you know, I found myself dealing with things that I would be revisiting that I used to deal with, how to cope with things. And it's easy. You have to really train the mind to stay focused, to stay on the thing, on the pathway. And I'm not gonna lie, it's been a tough year. My body is trying to realign back to what is when everything's changing inside of me. And it's like some of that is because of the chemo I had and everything. And I have to grieve those moments, but I have to embrace like, God, what can I change? And I'm gonna talk about that, about change, and how that we have to really look at how can we take what we're in control of. And so I don't want it to be heavy, but when I think of priorities, there's two things I really think. If we base our priorities on these two things, it says in Mark 12:30, one, that we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourself. When I build my priorities on those things, it is going to balance out. Because everything I do, when I love God, I know He loves me. When I love God, I'm going to receive that love too. When I love Him, I'm going to put what matters first in my life, which is Him. Everything is based out of that word love. When I love others, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to be of help to them. But when I love myself, I'm also going to have boundaries. I'm also going to learn how to balance that out so that I have leftovers for myself too, and trust God that even if I pour out everything, He's going to pour in everything I need to pour out. And, you know, that is where we go to that like gas station, we go to church, or we go before God. And some days I don't have the words to even say what I'm supposed to think next, but I just put on worship. And I might be through tears or whatever. It might be in a car. I remember as a mom, I would spend a lot of time driving and praying. That's about the only time I really had for sometimes my relationship with God. When we have those moments, we're like, what time do I have with God? Well, it could be driving. It could be showering. It could be whatever. But God doesn't look at like, oh, you're just giving me the leftover. He's looking at just the quality of the time, the heart of where you're bringing it from. Yes, I want to make the time for Him first and most of all, but I want to be able to just do it all day long. And all day long, it is a constant, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, or help me, help me, help me, or show me, or guide me, or whatever. There is like a desperate plea inside of us, especially when we're parents, to just be able to receive that so we can pour out. And so what I was going to say is it's important also to know your needs and wants. And I had a hard time with that because feels like I need a lot of things in this life. And especially through social media, it'll tell you a lot of things that you need. But it's not needs, they're wants. It depends how you look at life. What you need, the basics of life, really. The rest is blessings. The rest are the blessing, the overflow of that. And I remember, like, I always use this thing, but when the twins were little, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to out you, Levi, but okay. When the twins were little, like, you know, Levi was about 5 and he's like, I need this. And Maya was like, you want that. She knew the difference and he knew the they learned quickly. But it was so true that we, when, you know, when you're young, you, everything you think you need, because it looks good, it looks great. And so you balance that out and you're like, okay, I need that. I need that. I've been looking, believe me, it's hard. I look at things on house. I love decorating. And I see these images of these beautiful rooms set up. And I'm just like, oh, I would need that. In COVID, everybody needed a dog, right? Like, they were shipping dogs in all the way from, well, I mean, I'm glad. I mean, these dogs needed homes. But everybody needed a dog. We ended up with one with my daughter, and now we're grandparents to this dog. And he's always with us. But, you know, we always think what we need. And those are the added blessings to our lives. When we stay focused and remember what we need is we need him. We're desperate for him. The songs all lined up perfectly today. I was trying not to cry before I got up here because mascara would start running. And I was just like, okay, it was everything I was going to preach about, teach about. And I love that song, The Goodness of God. That part, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. How do you not see that is all you need? The goodness of God to fall upon you, right? And we see that when we don't line up with what we need from him, we're like children in the desert complaining. And I'm not pointing anything, I'm saying from myself. We become children complaining. I want more. I need more. This isn't enough. And that's where God's like, no, you can pour. Oh, I'm going to pour in. I'm going to shift your perspective and get you back into the ground, the foundation of what you really need. And you will hunger and thirst no more. Isn't that what he promises us? That when we drink from the well, when we go to him, he satisfies every longing inside of us. Even those houses that we're believing for, even those jobs that we're praying for, he satisfies it. He fulfills it. And it helps me to know that there is a God greater than the universe, that created the universe, that wants all that for me. Even in recovery, when we teach that there is a higher power, God, who helps your life to become manageable, who helps your life to become, to put things in perspective and to show you the way and help you to walk through forgiveness of things you didn't think you could walk through. Baggages you carried for years, just unloading. And all those things, he knows what we need, cares for us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's great. But you know what? It becomes personal. He doesn't want me just to walk through like formulas and it's like, okay, yeah, you got rid of that. You got rid of that. He wants to have a relationship with me so that when I get rid of that thing, there's like nothing separating us there. There's nothing, and I can receive and I can move forward in the plans that God has for myself and for us all. So I'm looking at when I think of motherhood, what do you think of motherhood? What's the good things of motherhood? Like the feelings. Comfort. Oh, and you know, I just seen that word today. God comforts us as a mother comforts a child. Comfort. Pride. Mm-hmm. Sorry? Sacrifice, yes. Strength. Strength, absolutely. Joy. Joy, yes. That's awesome. Those are all wonderful things. And I had like another rewarding, fulfilling. It is. It's wonderful. I'm very proud of my kids. Like you said, pride. I'm proud of my children. God is proud of us. He is cheering us on. I stood by and you're going to hear a lot of familiar stories. I've stood by and watched my kids, you know, go through things in school and in activities and you get invited to all those assemblies and you're cheering them on. You show up because you care, because you're their biggest fan. God's our biggest fan. He's showing up all the time in our life, and he's cheering us on. He's saying, go, go. You got more. I'm so proud of you. And I love that he cheers us on. And, you know, he does that through other people working through us and cheering us on and believing and spotting out the things that he sees in us. And it's so good. But at the same time, what else is motherhood? On the side that doesn't always feel great. Sorry? Stressful, yes. Pain. Sorry? Exhaustion. That's a big one. Have that one down too. Yep. And I have we had frustrating, overwhelming, that word. It can be very overwhelming. And that's also for fathers. I'm not just saying for mothers, but today's our day. So today we are looking at what moms carry their love and their heart for their children. And, you know, we have a very diverse family, and we have it doesn't matter if a child is, you know, even birthed through you to be a mom. I mean, you through adoption, you can do through, you know, different things, right? You can, that person's in your heart. They're in their heart, your heart. And you think about them, and you're concerned for them when things go wrong. You see their tears when there's heaviness and heartaches, and you can't help it. It affects your own. And so it's really important that we watch our children grow, and they start off so little depending on us for all their needs. And as they grow and they grow more independent, they don't need you as much anymore, but they still want to spend time with you. And that's when I see God, when I think of my early years with being a Christian, he was like, everything was falling into place. All the great things. I was like, yes, this is so easy. This is wonderful. Because I'm needy. I'm a baby. And he's giving me everything I need to sustain me for maturity. And then it's like, yes, he cries when I cry, when I struggle, when I go through the problems. He's there. Just as a mother sees and a father sees for their children, they see the struggle and they're trying to be there and trying to encourage. And, you know, and all those things become overwhelming if we don't remember who's in place and who loves us the most. And so, you know, I think of being sleep deprived. Man, those years, I cried to God. I'm like, do you see? I need some sleep. I just need some sleep so I can think clearly. And, you know, they were awesome kids. I honestly was blessed by the best kids. And I'm not just saying that because they're mine. God knew what I could handle. He knew what I could handle. I was a single mom for quite some years. And, you know, they just loved each other. They were just so well behaved. Yeah, there was problems. Like I said, the strong-willed children and the different things and the health, some health issues sometimes or whatever battles that you go through. But I say the hardest thing is, you know, pouring in and making these decisions and hoping that they're going to turn out better than you, that they're going to learn from something. And I think that's the hardest thing is that when you see them grow up and you're seeing that independence, you're watching them make mistakes and praying that that's as far as it goes, that it stops there. And honestly, it does. It can. These generational things can break. And that's the part of the awesome thing about the power of God is he breaks those generational things. And I've watched my children, all six of them, go farther than we have. Because, yeah, I'm sure that they learn from our mistakes, too. And, you know, there's a app. I don't know if you've ever been on it. It's called Messenger X. It's on, you can get it on the App Store. It's John and Lisa Bevere, and they have a man on there that's called, his name is Chip Judd. He's a counselor, and he has a series there called Healthy Relationships. And I use it quite often in my counseling and different things. And one of the best things I love about it is he talks about healthy relationships with boundaries and healthy relationships, how to love yourself, how to love others, how to be a parent, all this stuff. And he just balances it out to a place where, you know, knowing what's priorities And there's things that I was like, okay, my mind does not think like that. I don't think that that's a priority. And one of the things he said is our goal in life is to raise our children to hope that they turn out even a little bit better, a little more, you know, than us. And if they do that and they do that and they do that, then we're going to have a really, you know, generational things that are going to be so much better and for the future. Right? We're not perfect parents. We're not perfect people. And what overwhelms us is the expectations we have on ourselves. The expectations that we can put and titles that we can put and things that we can put on ourselves. I had to-do lists. I was very like, I want to say OCD, but I was very obsessed with lists. Lists keep me on track. But I was a Monday to Sunday list person. And I had probably like 15 things on my list every day, maybe more. And I would start off my day with checking off everything that I did. And by the end of the day, if I had 3 things left over, I would be very hard on myself and be like, what? How am I going to get caught up now? Especially when you have little ones. I am going to be way behind and you get overwhelmed. And so I was trying to make time with God. I would stay up really late. Then I'd be tired the next morning. And you would just compare yourself to other people. Like, you know, different people you hear that they get up at 6 in the morning and they start their day off with Jesus and singing and we're out of like, I'm not a morning person. Nope, not me. and it's really hard if you are up through the night with your kids or whatever, and you have these expectations and comparison that can put you in a place that the demands makes it hard. And that goes from, you know, for, like I said, men as well, you know, looking, comparing their jobs or whatever, and you just feel less than. And so it's really important to be able to say, okay, I don't have to check everything off the list. Now I'm a list person still, but my list is, it's my same Monday to Sunday or whatever, or Monday to Saturday, but there's a lot that gets passed off through the month. And it really is. Like, most important things are like appointments and stuff like that. But the rest of it is about just accepting what I cannot change. And then, you know, I think of the serenity prayer, what we teach is God grant me the serenity, which is peace, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it goes on even further. But what we have is acceptance. The acceptance of what do I need to change? What can I change? And in that messenger app, he really goes on about that, because what it is about control. Control is something we all want. me and my husband were laughing about yesterday. We both like to control the outcomes. And there are things that we have to really hand over and say, okay, this is what I'm in control of, which is what? I'm in control of myself, my thoughts, my feelings, my beliefs, anything like that I am in control of. What am I not in control of? Others, right? Other people, everything else, right? Other people's thoughts, other people's beliefs, how they feel about me, how they feel about that person. And we can really drive ourselves crazy trying to control all that. I got to make sure that person gets along with that person. They're coming over for dinner and all the family's getting together. And I, you know, all that crazy thoughts. And we have to remember, I can't control that. But what I like about it is the middle part. What can I influence? There is a middle part. I may not be able to control it, but I might be able to influence it. So maybe it's about forgiveness. Had an opportunity to walk through that this morning and just walk through my heart and just say, oh, there it is. There's that ugly thing again that just wants to ruin my day, snatch my peace. And I cried and then I let it go. And I had to let it go because it was a choice. So how can I influence my day to become a better day? By letting it go. How can I let my children grow up and do their mistakes? By letting them do it, by giving them what I can, which is guidance and direction, but allowing them to make the choices that they need to make. And yes, there might be some frustration, obviously, and all that, but that's the influence I can take, is to impart my wisdom into things. Or maybe I am waiting to get into something and I'm waiting for a call. You know, have I done everything I can to do for a job and I'm waiting for that call back? I prepared myself. I've done all I can. I've influenced that. I've done the best I can do. And that's acceptance. Those things help you to become less overwhelmed in your day. As you hand over to surrender and say, okay, God, I've done, you showed me to do this. I've done all I can do, and I accept that. So again, priorities change as your seasons of life change. And that's also true. I don't like change. I'll admit that. It is, like I said, I am happy and I'm upset that they're leaving. I want them to grow up, but I don't. I don't like the change in it. I don't like everything that changes and all that. But at the same time, God has been showing me the beauty of change. God shows us the beauty of change, of what change is necessary to grow. And when we come to an acceptance and shift our priorities to support that, then we will make time. There will be time for everything that's beautiful. Moments like, you will have those emotions. Things will feel out of control. But the thing, when they sing that song about Mary and Martha, I was like, yeah, that was in my notes. Because I look at that part of control is the preoccupied mind that says and looks at, okay, I want this to get better. I want to feel good about this situation. Martha was looking to be seen and heard. There was a deeper need in Martha. The deeper need was she probably didn't feel seen and heard. She was comparing herself with her sister, who was very relaxed and maybe needed a little help being more responsible, but it wasn't about that. Jesus wasn't there to tell us all the things, who was doing right and wrong, but he cared about the heart and the priorities in the heart. And that's why he looked at Martha, not to scold her, but to tell her, Martha, you have so many worries. There's so much there. There's so many things, but it's more than just this dinner. It's more than just being helped. It is the worries upon my worries about the comparison or the whatevers that are there that we can do that when we don't feel seen and heard. And so it's important to remember that that balance comes in when we hand it over and say, she chose a better thing, to listen and worship at his feet, to worship in her heart. And those quiet moments, if we can get them in our day, little bits and pieces, they're big time. And sometimes just shut off the phones or whatever. I know I use a lot of my phone for my Bible app, and I'm trying to get back to my other Bible, which I think why I have a heart, I got to get a new Bible. Because I have a Bible that I've used all throughout my 20s. My favorite Bible. And I spent so much time in the Word. Everything's highlighted. I have notes all around it. So when I read it, I go back to that and it's good, but I want something fresh and new. I want a new perspective. And I only see what I have wrote and stuff. So I got to get a new Bible. And it's got to be one that I like. But, you know, it's just like everything's in there. It's full of wisdom, but it's just, I want something fresh. And so I think it's really important to get those things where it work for you. So you can get into, you know, get the things inside of you and get the fresh perspectives from God, to take that time and say, okay, God, just give me today what I need. Give me today what I need. I need something. I need something fresh. Doesn't mean it's new. It's just fresh. Because sometimes we receive that word over and over and over again, and we just become desensitized to it. And it's like, help your word to become fresh in my life, to renew it and make it like applicable to my life so I can feel well again, right? Because God cares about our souls, that we feel well again. And I know, like, I'm not saying this is like some of the things you're going to see later. You're going to see why I said it. But I go back again to that one piece of motherhood. And I remember the expectations and the worries that I had. And I wanted to be everything to everyone. Have you ever wanted to be everything to everyone? You didn't want to disappoint anyone. You didn't want to let anybody down. So you're juggling all the balls and you're spinning all the plates and running. That's how I used to see my life, as it was like 10 people, like that one person that used to take the spindle thing and spin the plates on the top. I used to see myself running back and forth. Can't let one plate fall. Can't let anybody down. And we went to Colasani's. I don't remember what grade it was, if it was grade 3 or 4. 2? Okay, it was even younger. Okay. Well, one thing they do for twins is they keep them in separate classes. And there's a field trip. And I'm not going to sign up for one and leave the other. So I would have been on the bus and I would have been with either Levi or Maya. And I tried to get them to put them in the same group, but they didn't want to do that. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to drive there. I'm going to go and I'm going to spend one activity with one and one activity with another. And I am running from one side of Colasani's to another side of Colasani's. And I'm trying to, where are they? You know, and I could feel my heart racing and I could feel myself wanting, someone's going to be like, I'm trying. And then they had separate lunches. And I'm with one lunch and then I'm running to another activity. I don't remember which kid didn't have a lunch. And I had to, was it Maya? Okay, poor girl. So I had to sit back with her and she had to be apart from her group while she finished her lunch. And I felt awful. Like, I did not know how to do this. And it was like, yeah, I did the best I can. From the outside looking in, you can see, oh, you tried. But what I did was like, I put too much on my plate. I expected something from myself. If we expect too much from ourselves, what's going to happen is we will break. We will break with crushing disappointment. We will break with our energy not being able to give out to what really matters. And I try to make the time to balance, but it doesn't work like that. And so instead, I really needed to ask for help. And what might have helped was maybe taking another person along with me and maybe switching off. And that might have helped. I don't even know the solution for that one. But all I know is there was an expectation I had of myself. I can't let them down. I am mom and dad at this point, and I don't know how to do it. But I did not want to show any signs of weakness. And I'm not the best at asking for help. And I admit that is a weakness I have. When we don't ask for help, how can other people meet the needs, right? And so we have become vulnerable and transparent. That will take off the pressure of being overwhelmed and seeing that you know what? No one's expected to be everything. No one's expected to hold the whole family together. It doesn't fall on you. There is a God, a higher power that cares so much about our needs and our pain. And he just wants us to just ask for that help. And he gives us a community, which I love. He helps us to have a community. I've shared this before, but the frustrating thing was, even with all that, I thought, I knew I was a good mom. Do you ever know you're really good at something and you've been told that? You're really good at that. You're really good at that. And you hear it over and over again. And I had that prophetic word that I used to get from all the conferences that would be here. And Pastor Jeff and Pastor Johnny and all them would come. And Pastor Gary Bray's, you know, giving prophetic words. And they always say, you're a good mom, you're a good wife. And I know that. But I didn't want that word at that moment. But God knew what I needed. And I used to get so mad. I told Dorma, I'm not going to another conference here. I am not, just to get the same word. And I said, and I would compare myself to him and say, look what you get. You get these big, long, you get all this stuff. And you already know what you're supposed, you're prophetic. What, you know what God's leading you. What do you need help for? And I'm the one that needs direction. And I would get upset because I wanted more from God. But God knew what I needed, not just at that moment, but my future. God knows your future. Do you have a word that you're still standing on and you're like, okay, or you got words that felt insignificant? God knows that word is not just for now, it's for then and for later. And so later throughout, like I said, when the kids make mistakes or when the kids grow up and you feel guilty and all that shame comes on from your past decisions, you remember, what did God say about you? What did God say? What did God remind you of? And he told me, you're a good mom, you're a good wife. So now anytime the enemy tries to come and guilt me, it is you're a good mom and you're a good wife. And no one can do any job alone. So where I want everybody to go is to, if you can, to get your Bibles out and get you at least looking for some scripture here. It's Exodus 18, 13 to 27. Exodus 18, 13, and we're going to go right to the end, to 27. Okay, so this is about Moses' advice from his father-in-law, which is really good about prioritizing some things. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. Feels like motherhood, too. They waited for him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" Moses replied, "Because the people came to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if it's a little bit different. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out and the people too, because they're standing in line, waiting for their turn from one person, right? So this job is too heavy of a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. But have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace." Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions, and he chose those capable men over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge in groups of 1,150 and 10. These men were always available to solve the people's common disputes, and they brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. Soon after this, Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law, who returned to his own land. Isn't that awesome? That really shows you that, you know, when we put things in priority, when we really, you know, maybe ask for that help, receive that help, it puts things in so that you don't carry the load, that you don't feel the pressure. The people are not feeling the pressure, and things fall into place. Okay, so how many of you guys ever heard of the jars of life? Not the jaws of life, the jars of life. This is a demonstration. So my husband's going to bring this up. And, no, she wants it. And, yeah, it's heavy. Okay. I just got these yesterday from, like, the dollar store. So, I demonstrated this already because I bought extra just to see if it actually works. just so I know that it does work. Okay, so here, he's going to do the... Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, please. I can't do it myself. He already offered, that's why. Anyways, here you go. Okay, so we're going to have, in this bag, we have rocks. Okay, so the rocks, so the jars represent life and time. Okay, and just do one, one bag right now. So, and we just got these rocks yesterday. We went to the pond and I had to wash them all. So I'm like, where do you get big rocks? Like, I don't want to pay for rocks. Rocks come from the earth. So we went to the pond and gathered some rocks. And so in this, we're going to demonstrate first, you can put those ones down, that the rocks are important, valuable things in life, such as we have the big one. Is this the biggest one? On that one? The biggest one we're going to say is what? God, right? In with God, there's that your worship, everything, your relationship with him, your time with him, all of that. So you have the big one with God. And then we have other ones such as family, health, you know, your passions and friends. I got about 7 rocks. I mean, I didn't want to list them all, but they're the important things of life. They will bring value to your life. And the pebbles represent the less, but still important, like your jobs and your cars, your houses, maybe like hobbies. They're still a part of you, but if you were to lose some of this, it wouldn't change this, which is the most important. And then we have the sand. And it's colorful sand, which is pretty neat. And these are the small trivial things that don't matter, like material things, TV, social media. Okay, and the goal of this is to, I'm trying to get my thoughts straight, is to demonstrate that if we put the things that really don't matter first into our day, we will not have room for the things that really do matter. And I did the demonstration. I was like, wow, that works. And obviously, it's part of like science there, right? But you just, so he's going to pour that in. He's going to pour it. Okay, I get up in the morning. I spend time with Facebook. I spend time on my social media all day long, in and out. Maybe, you know, doing the things that I love that actually bring enjoyment into my life. But it's not, yeah, you can pour it in. It's not that important. So I'm putting that first throughout my day. And then I'm like, oh no, I forgot. I got to get my job. I got to go to work. I'm running late. I got to do this. I need to get the oil change. I need to take care of these responsibilities like cleaning my house and different things like that. So I better do that. And again, it might be mixed throughout. Uh-oh. Okay. So we're going to pour that in. And it's creating dust. And now, we're going to add in our bigger things, God, our time with God and all of that, prayer time, our family. I got to spend some time with my family. I've been busy all day doing other things, so I must spend time now. I got to do all of that. Can you guys see that over there? Okay. I know there's a little bit of blockage there. So, there's my... Yeah, it's overflowing, and I don't want to dent the table, but it's not fitting. And I wonder why sometimes I feel so unaccomplished in a day and so heavy because I haven't got that time to do the right things here. And the people are affected, my family, all of that, because maybe I work too hard, or maybe I'm trying to be intentional, but I'm looking down at my phone a lot, and I feel overwhelmed by the time the end of the day comes. I might feel overwhelmed when I wake up. The next day, this is my not so healthy way of approaching life. Can you back up over here and do it? Because that way he can see too. We're going to add in our rocks first. Our biggest rock is God. We're going to put him, and this is, again, I said to Dorm, I'm going to say this, I ain't throwing stones at anybody, no pun intended. We all don't do this perfectly, okay? But it's giving you a demonstration of what happens. And we spend our time with our family throughout our day. We make sure we're doing quality time, intentional time. And there will always be room for the next. I mean, you'd be surprised that there's no room here. But when you do priorities first, there will always be more room for the others. And we can shake it down. And we can make it, you know, spending time. This is all, yep, it all fits. And I did the measurements correctly. Even the rocks, I did make sure that they were equally the same size. Is this stuck? Okay, I didn't open that one.
This one doesn't want to come out.
Yeah, so. And there goes all of that. And there's time. There's enough room for everything. There's always room when we put things in priority and put things first. My daughter helped me to see find this demonstration. I loved it. So it says, what is the lesson? You focus on the rocks first. Otherwise, you won't have room for the rest. And if you do, everything falls into place. And what the verse that really supports that is Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All right? And so with that, I hope that you have a wonderful day. I hope that again, when we feel overwhelmed, that we remember what, you know, myself, like I said, this demonstration will stick in my mind. I'm very visual, that when we put things first, we always have room for more. God will make room for more. You won't go without. Sometimes you feel like you will, but you won't. And so I just want you to all have a blessed day. And just, Pastor Dave, you want to say anything?
Isn't that a good word? Great job, Erica. Thank you. That was really good. Leave those up. Let's leave them up for a minute.
Yeah, I'm just going to clean that up.
That's okay. It's not a priority. You don't have to clean it up. That's a really great analogy. Like, I'm looking at it thinking it's the same amount, but when we get things out of order, look at the difference. And how can we all admit we've been at the end of the night trying to fit the big rocks in? And you get frustrated because you know you did it out of order. But what a visual we'll have now, from now on. So, and then there's still time left. That's amazing. Well, why don't you stand? Now, that's another great analogy of overload, isn't it? Trying to shove them in at the end of the day. So, Lord, we thank you for that word. We thank you for, again, a reminder to prioritize. Lord, even as we look at this month being overloaded, Lord, this is great to remind us to put you first, seek the kingdom first, and all things shall be added to you. And Lord, I pray as we go through today and we be with moms, if they're still around, or remember moms, Lord, I pray that you would be with all those people. It can be a wonderful day, it can be a difficult day, but Lord, we choose in our heart to say, Lord, we'll put you first and help us to walk through today in a joyful, loving manner to all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.